Our lives are so demanding. There's always more work to get done. Let us make time to step away from those demands, time to renew our bodies and spirits, time to gain perspective on our lives and remember who we are. May this be such a time.
So today, Tom's sermon is about the Sabbath and about taking time to rest. And sabbatical, I believe, is the same root, and I do believe that Tom is entitled to and needs his rest as well. But right now, I would like you to do a little visualization with me. I want to ask you all to get comfortable, to relax your bodies, to put your feet on the floor if they reach, to close your eyes, let your bodies be still. Now with me, please breathe in and out, in and out, in and out. Now I want you to start seeing pictures in your head, kind of like playing a movie. I want you to see you with your family on a day when you have nothing to do, a day of relaxation and rest. Who is there with you? Where are you? At your home, with visiting relatives, somewhere special in nature? What is one thing that you love doing with your family at this special spot? See yourself doing that. See yourself continuing on in the day as the day goes on. What other things do you do with your family? What types of food do you eat? What smells do you smell? What sounds do you hear? Go on through the day and just see yourself spending the time as you choose to. How do you feel as you get ready for bed, as you snuggle into bed that night? Now I want you to breathe in and out again, nice and slow, and open your eyes when you're ready. If you are like me at all, the chance to have a day where you just spend time as a couple, as a family, with friends, just being together, just relaxing, is rare. This can be the type of days we need more than anything else. A day with no to-do lists, no I shoulds, no, for kids, the kind of day where your parents always say, oh, I'll play with you later, and you say, can you play with me, please? And you say, no, I have so many things to do. The kind of day where you just say yes to your kids, I'll play with you. Sometimes kids, and you know what, this in particular is important for our teenagers and our middle schoolers as well, because they're just as busy sometimes as us adults, that you need to plan a day to just be, just to relax, and not use that, as, of course, as why you can't do your homework, but to just know that sometimes it's okay to give yourself permission to just be, because you guys are probably busier than just about anybody. We can't take this type of day very often, but we do need to spend this type of day sometimes. We need time to just focus on what truly is the most important thing, our families, ourselves, our sense of just being with those we love the most. So I hope you find some time in the next few weeks to take a day of Sabbath and just be. Thank you.
Yonder come day, day is breaking. Yonder come day, oh my soul. Yonder come day, day is breaking. Sun is rising in my soul. Yonder come day, day is breaking. Yonder come day, oh my soul. Yonder come day, day is breaking. Sun is rising in my soul.
Sing yonder come day, yonder day.
Yeah.
like to share two readings with you. The first from Thomas Merton. There is a pervasive form of contemporary violence that is activism and overwork. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form of violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything is to succumb to violence. The frenzy of our activism neutralizes our work for peace. It destroys our inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of our own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes work fruitful. Second reading is from Sabbath, Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of Rest by Wayne Muller. Because of our desire to succeed, we meet every expectation, we do not rest. Because we do not rest, we lose our way. We miss the compass points that show us where to go. We lose the nourishment that give us succor. We miss the quiet that gives us wisdom. Poisoned by the hypnotic belief that good things come only through tireless effort, we never truly rest. And for want of rest, our lives are in danger. Sabbath time is a revolutionary challenge to the violence of overwork. Sabbath honors the necessary wisdom of dormancy. If certain plant species do not lie dormant during the winter, they will not bear fruit in the spring. If this continues for more than a season, the plant begins to die. If dormancy continues to be prevented, the entire species will die. A period of rest is not just a psychological convenience. It is a spiritual and biological necessity. This is the last Sunday I'll be with you for a few weeks. I'll be back for the first Sunday in March, and we'll be here every Sunday through Easter, and then I will be gone again. I'll be using some sabbatical time that I've earned over the past several years. I hope to renew my batteries, to do some reading and writing, and get some much-needed rest and exercise so that I can come back and we'll have some new and fresh things to offer. I hope this will be a time of spiritual renewal. The idea of taking time to renew is a very old one. The word sabbatical comes from the same root as the word Sabbath, the ancient idea that comes from us to us from the Hebrew tradition, but it really is found in many religious traditions. That idea that on the seventh day we should pause from work and take time to rest. A couple years ago, I was traveling on the road, as I will be this afternoon again, with my usual driving companion, NPR, listening to an interview with the Jewish scholar Elie Wiesel. And he said something that gave me real pause, something that has stuck with me since. He was talking about the contributions that his Hebrew culture made to greater civilization. And he identified the idea of Sabbath as perhaps its greatest contribution. Well, you know, my first reaction to that was, now, wait a minute. What about the prophets, Isaiah, Micah, Amos, and the rest, and their call to be doers, to bring about change, to fight tirelessly against injustice? Isn't that the great contribution of Hebrew tradition? And this coming from one whose life's work has been to awaken the moral responsibility in people to stand and speak out against injustice, hatred, genocide. One who himself was a survivor of a Holocaust that might not have happened if more people had heard those words of the prophets and followed their command. It seemed hard to believe. The Hebrew people have contributed incredible ideas about justice, law, morality, and much more to our Western culture. Could it really be, I thought, that this idea of doing nothing, of taking time off to rest, Could that be this great tradition's most important contribution? You know, most of us work very hard most of the time. Our jobs require long hours. We schedule every minute of our time and of our children's time. You know, the most common answer I think I receive when I ask people the question, "How are you?" is, "Oh, I'm busy. I'm very busy." It's not bad to be busy, but many of us have taken things to a point that is well beyond what it means just to lead productive lives. We're so busy at work, or at school, or at home, or at church, we're so over-obligated that if we get a day off, we use it to catch up on the other things we have to do but have been too busy to get to do. I bet some of you have those kinds of plans for today. And I bet some folks who are not here today are spending their day in just that way. Being exhausted from nonstop work has become almost a badge of success, the way to get ahead and have a good life. The pace of our life just seems to accelerate. And the expectation is that we'll just keep going faster to get more done. That's the measure of success. And it seems to be true whether you define success as more money or more recognition or more security or even more love. Even when our work is for the most noble and selfless causes, a high price is paid by us and others when we do it at a frantic pace, without taking regular time to put the work down, to rest, and to renew ourselves. It was Gandhi who said, "There is more to life than merely increasing its speed." But we resist the idea that we regularly need to break from our work and rest and renew our spirit and body. Perhaps we think we'll take a break when this project is over or the season is over. But when we get to that point, it always seems like there's just something else that has to be done. When I think about that kind of busyness, I recall a friend of mine who speaks Chinese telling me about the Chinese pictogram for the word busy. Some of you may know it. It's made up of two characters. One of those characters means heart, and the other means killing. It's hard to avoid the message here that being busy all the time maybe is killing our hearts. We have to ask ourselves the question, what is our busyness doing to us? In the first reading I shared with you this morning, Thomas Merton described being overworked with no time or opportunity for rest as a form of self-violence. Wayne Muller in the second reading said, we lose our way in our busyness, and we are poisoned by the hypnotic belief that good comes only from tireless effort. He goes on to say that for want of rest, our very lives are in danger. So perhaps we are killing our hearts spiritually and literally, just as that Chinese pictogram would suggest. It's in response to that danger that I want to revisit the idea of observing Sabbath and of taking a sabbatical with you this morning. The origins of Sabbath in Judaism is found in the Genesis text of the creation story, where after six successive very busy days of creating the world, God takes the seventh day to rest and to contemplate the work done. This model of resting on the seventh day took the form of a commandment in the later biblical books of both Exodus and Deuteronomy. In each account, the fourth of the Ten Commandments reminds us to observe the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Even the livestock are to rest on that day. There's slightly different versions. In the Deuteronomy version of the commandments, Moses gives an additional reason for this day of rest beyond just the idea that God rested on the seventh day of creation, so we should. He says to the Israelites, remember, You were once slaves in the land of Egypt. Surely as slaves, they had worked 7 days a week. And therefore, this reference would be reminding them of the harm that a life without a Sabbath would have upon them, and certainly provides an additional reason to make that seventh day one of rest and contemplation. Now, I know Unitarian Universalists are not too hot on this idea of having to obey a set of ancient religious commandments. Most of those Ten Commandments, what they require, like not killing or not stealing or honoring your parents, are really part of our legal and moral code in our own time. And I grant you, some of the commandments are indeed rather archaic and degrading, especially to women. And perhaps we've chosen to set them aside. But this fourth commandment, the teachings of it, the very idea that Wiesel calls one of the greatest, or the greatest contribution of the Hebrew people to Western civilization, how we've treated that is very different. It just seems to have gradually been eroded and ignored and almost forgotten. What we don't quite get today is that observing the Sabbath in ancient time was not a nice lifestyle suggestion. It was recorded as an ethical teaching of the same order of importance as not killing, not stealing, and not lying. We certainly don't think of it that way. Perhaps we need to ask, why was rest and contemplation and singing songs and being with family, taking delight in creation, once considered as important a thing to do as the prohibiting of many morally repugnant or reprehensible acts? Well, most all religious traditions recognize the need for a rhythm between work and rest. It's not that work is bad and Sabbath is good, but the downtime, the time to refresh, replenish, to think, contemplate, away from our work, is necessary for us to be the best we can be in our work. We see this kind of rhythm all around us. Any farmer can tell you that every so many years a field needs to lie fallow in order to again produce bountiful crops. We see this rhythm in the plants that go dormant in the winter, and the way night turns to day, even in the ebb and flow of tides. It seems that we have lost the essential rhythm of work and restful times of pleasure and peace. The rhythm that in sacred tradition goes by the name Sabbath. Rhythm that's also noted in the practice of taking a sabbatical. Now, if you're my age or older, and I see there are quite a few there that would qualify, you remember stores being closed on Sunday. And probably big family dinners, either after church or after temple services, whether they were Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, whatever the Sabbath was. Even 20 years ago, having Sunday or Saturday as a day of rest was more part of our mindset. Now, some folks still do strictly observe a Sabbath day. Malcolm and I live next door to a very strict Orthodox Jewish family. And before sunset on Friday evening, the family is all gathered in the house and all the lights are on, as they'll not even turn on a light switch during the Sabbath. A few years ago, we returned home on a Friday night, and their car alarm was ringing. The mother of the family came out to Malcolm and handed him their car keys and asked if he would shut off the alarm, as they could not do so on the Sabbath. Now, that probably seems a bit extreme to most of us, but there is a certain beauty in the fact that this family has not even started down the path of eroding the Sabbath. And on Saturday morning, dressed in their best clothes, they all walk to temple and leisurely walk back, having real conversations with friends and family. No getting in the car, no driving. Now, most of us are not going to observe Sabbath in that fashion. But perhaps you do see some merit in observing the rhythm of work and rest more carefully. Maybe you're thinking back to what the Sabbath was like in your childhood. Maybe you're thinking about what truly observing the Sabbath might look like in your life today. Gathering here each week, leaving behind our distractions and spending just an hour with each other in worship can refresh us and on a good Sunday send us out ready for another week of work. In the rhythm of coming together on the seventh day, there is a steadiness that can help us live our lives at a more sacred pace. You know, church is only at a certain hour on Sunday morning. It's not something you can reschedule or get to when you want to or when you have time. The regular rhythm is its saving grace. It can be very elusive just how important our Sabbath time together is. As I said earlier, the idea of Sabbath has been eroded in our society to the point most of us give it very little thought. Sometimes even here at church with so many announcements to make and people to talk to and things to get done and committees to meet and children to teach, there isn't much leaving work behind and laying down of burdens. And often we just don't sense the need to do that. But then there are other Sundays. Sundays, I think, when you experience the presence of grace and the support of others. Sundays when you feel your life slow down just enough to learn something very important about yourself. Sundays maybe when you debate coming at all, drag yourself here, drag your kids here, and then, just a little, are uplifted by some music or by some silence or by some spoken words or by the faces of the other gathered people or by a word that someone just says to you. On those days, you know what Sabbath is, and you can appreciate the importance of the sacred seven-day rhythm that our Hebrew forebears gave us. But you know, observing the Sabbath is not just about worshiping together. You can take a Sabbath walk on Tuesday, or a Sabbath meal with your partner on Thursday, or even a Sabbath coffee break every day. And maybe you're blessed, as I am, and have a job that allows and encourages you to take some sabbatical time. These all can be ways of creating a sanctuary in time for rest and renewal. I would say that any time, any day of the week, you intentionally lay down your work and make yourself unavailable to it. I don't mean put the cell phone in your pocket and leave telling everybody, if anything goes wrong, just call me and wait for the messages from work. No, I mean off the cell phone. That can be Sabbath time. It's a time when you intentionally engage your focus on life-giving things, rest, nourishment, and pleasure. It's time when you intentionally listen to the deep voice within and honor the forces of grace and love at work in your life, and over which you'll never have any control, no matter how hard you work at it. It's also time to connect deeply with the moral teachings that guide you, with your faith, with your family, with your community. Things happen within us when we lay down our burdens and take time to rest. It's the practice of Sabbath rest that in that practice we gain a kind of clarity and understanding which constantly driven work can never provide us with. You know, in the Tao Te Ching, this question is asked by an inquisitive one of the teacher. I love this question. How do you make muddy water clear? And the questioner wants to know now what to do, what action to take. And the answer is a very simple one. If you allow the water to remain still, it will become clear by itself. the dirt, the sediment in that water will drop out and the water will become clear if you allow it to be still. It's hard to let go and leave work behind. And others around us will be trying to drag us back into the work. You know, Sunday is a full working day for Malcolm and I, for me. We try to take Mondays off, but we're not really that good at it. Generally, we have to go out of town in order to not be working. And being the only minister of a congregation means you're never really off. And I accept that I'm always available for pastoral emergencies, except when I'm on sabbatical. So although you'll be with me in spirit, and our lay ministers and our covering minister will call me if there's any real emergency, I'm going to try and let go of the day-to-day demands of ministry for a little while. We just have to let go of things for a time. And when we do, something swells up in us and makes life sweeter. Let's us see love shining around us. Gives us joy and makes us sing. And gives us peace that renews our soul. Here is a place where this hour is a time when you can do that. Each week, you can walk through those doors or this door and into the space of a quiet prelude, intentionally telling yourself, I'm letting go of work or of this or that obligation for a few hours. I'm going to lay my burdens down and experience the rest, the love, the grace, the connections that are here in this room. Let the light music flow in. Welcome peace and the clarity that can come when we allow it in. In a free faith, no one is going to force you to do this. It's not a sin to miss church on Sunday. And I know that you can go shopping, you can play soccer, you can catch up on your work, all those things you can do on Sunday morning. There are lots of other things you can do. And none of those things are bad, except to the extent that they deprive you of the sacred rhythm of observing Sabbath. In the Gospel of Mark, it's written, you are not made for the Sabbath is made for you. Observing the Sabbath is not a duty or an obligation, but a practice you're free to choose in order to live with a healthy rhythm and a renewed spirit. So I hope you'll try to keep a bit of Sabbath in your life. And I am so grateful to all of you for allowing me a time of sabbatical renewal. I just want to share with you for a minute the wonderful opportunities that are going to be here while I'm away. You're going to have some wonderful guest ministers, as well as a service led by Mike, that's all music, and one lay-led by our stewardship committee. But next week, they're very interesting people and bring a very different perspective. Next week, Lilia Cuervo, who is the first Latina woman to be ordained as a Unitarian Universalist minister many years ago, will be here, and she'll be celebrating Martin Luther King Day with you, and she and Michelle will do a children's message, both a bilingual one with part her in Spanish and Michelle in English. The following week, the woman who is the expert on Unitarian Universalist women's history, the Reverend Dorothy Emerson, will be here. She's written the book, and she will be here to share the stories and the lessons of the lives of four great Unitarian Universalist women. Other guest minister who will be later in February is a very interesting woman as well. Her name is Eliza Blanchard. She's published many children's books, and she's known also for a great deal to do with sort of animals and the world of nature and animals and how and the spiritual part of that. She's also known for rites of passage that relate to animals and so forth. I don't know exactly what she's going to do. She's known for lots of other things, but she will be a very interesting person. And the fourth minister who will be here is the minister who is actually covering for pastoral care, and that is the Reverend Susie Phoenix, who many of you know, and she will be doing one of the services as well while I'm away. If you have any pastoral needs, you just call my phone number as you would all any at any time. One of our lay ministers will check the phone every day. If it's something they or the folks in the Caring Connection could help you with, they will do that. If it's something that needs to be referred to a minister, they will do that for you, and you'll be contacted. So there's coverage the whole time I'm away. And I hope it's a wonderful time for you. I'm excited about what's going on. Always when you get to do this, you never get to participate in it because they're here to fill in for you, and I would love to be part of it, but not so much that I'm going to stay around to do that. Our words of benediction are probably my favorite ones. They're from Frederick Gillis. May the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us, now and always. Amen.